item. If you haven't already signed in, the development team, doesn't look like we have any folks from the community. All right, let's go ahead and get started. So this is Bethesda Senior Living Tower, our second item on the agenda. And I will remind everybody that this is being recorded. And we'll do your presentation, and then the panel will discuss. And then if folks from the community do show up and have things to offer, we'll do that. So take it away.
So I just want to do a quick little preamble before I hand it over to the architects. As you all may recall, we met on this project late last year. Had a very good conversation, had some comments. There was a vote, and you all approved subject to some conditions. Subsequent to that meeting, we have had several conversations with park and planning staff, who have also given us their thoughts on architectural features and design of the building, access, and other topics. So we thought it was good courtesy. There's been changes, so we wanted to come back to you guys, not drastic changes, but very good changes of the design of the building, present that to everybody just to kind of keep them up to speed on what's been done since our first DAP meeting. So that's really the intent of this, is more of just informational. Here's where we were when you guys voted and approved it. Here's where what we've done. And so I don't know what the process is, Bob, if we need another vote or not, but I think it's more of a informational, and then we'll take this then through sketch plan process from here. So with that, I'll hand it over to James.
So really the beginning of the presentation is the same as it was before. It's about context and things like that, so it hasn't changed much. The zoning and the height limitations and so on, very familiar with all of that. Putting the proposed building in context with other proposed buildings, realizing this part of Bethesda downtown is changing pretty dramatically with adjacent buildings in addition to our site. More of context, the site itself, its location relative to the transit, both existing and proposed. It's currently the site of a gas station and at the corner of Montgomery and Wisconsin.
Closed gas station.
Yeah. Well, then right before we get to the next pictures, we'll start to show the building. Just to remind everybody, some of the comments that came from this group was, when we showed the pictures, it looked like the tower was, the top was bigger than the bottom, if you remember that. So we, it looks like it needs to be flip-flopped. So we've addressed some of those issues. There was a comment, I think you gave, George, that how do you have an element that ties the building together top to bottom? So that was a comment we heard. We also heard from staff as well. And then, you know, where do you access the garage? So you'll start to see all that. I just want to remind everybody, and there's where your comments were, and then also, how did this compare to if we just followed the hard and fast line of the design guidelines? What did that look like? So we did all that subsequent to our original meeting. So you'll see all those steps, and we'll probably get to those next in this presentation.
All right, so height limits, 250 feet on our site. Some of the adjacent sites are 290, but for the most part 250 and lower back towards the west. This is where we just took some of the pages from the guidelines and highlighted those that were relevant to our situation, and this is also sort of some reminders of where we came from last time we were here. And that we are very, very familiar with the guidelines. And as Joel said, we sort of went back to square one, and we'll show you how we sort of developed the massing from the guidelines and how each of the moves relate to the specifics of the guidelines. So that's what you see here. There's sort of this process and an overview, and then we will get into each of these steps in more detail on the ensuing slides, so you don't have to try to take it all in now. But if you were to begin at number one and take everything literally from the guidelines, the idea of a base that's well defined, and then a tower or a middle provides this result, 25-foot setback on Montgomery, 15, excuse me, on Wisconsin, 15 on Hampton and Montgomery. And then the backside, really, with a shared property line, looking for an ultimate 45-foot separation minimum between the towers. We're pulling back 22 and a half feet on the shared property line. And then if you just extrude the tower, there is a setback requirement after, you know, 70 feet or that. You can't go any higher than that. So starting there and then moving to the second image, we are beginning to modify and sculpt the podium. And so we have some public open space that's required that's happening on Wisconsin. We're variating the base and articulating it. You'll see some more detail on that down in image three. Then we're pushing in the massing, which relates to our original scheme, which we call Pivot, which had to do with this building being independent living at the top, assisted, and then memory care. So we have different program elements, and those are sort of acknowledging some of the angular street grid in the site. And so we've maintained that. And then with the arrows you see in number three, sort of pushing in, creating the interesting facade articulation, changing the facade planes, and helping to maintain that sense of a base and the definition of the base. I'll point out that it's 12 feet inset at its greatest point there on Wisconsin, and then it becomes less from that point, which you see in number four, where we're getting into the idea of corner treatment, which is one of the guidelines recommendations is encouraged. And so pulling out the mass to the corner, which we don't have the images here, but you know, as you drive down Wisconsin from the north, I mean, it's very visible because of a kink in the road. And so we have this slender form that we then extrude further in five to create a top. So base, middle tower, and top. And that will be an occupied space and so on, which we'll show you more detail on. So that's the way that we move, you know, through the guidelines to, you know, what we're proposing here in terms of the massing. And then looking, as I said, at each of those in a little more detail, same images, just a little easier to read at the scale. Also, the neighbor, we've had conversations with the neighbor that has a proposal out there that, you know, is still being, is still evolving, but with our 22 and a half foot setback, this suggests that if they did the same thing, it would look like this. So we're beginning to try to work with what may happen next door in our process. On the right, you see how that second image down shows we have terraces because, and we have more section information and so on that shows our first floor has a retail use, and then the lobby uses to activate Wisconsin. And then the second and third floors are amenity floors. There will be dining, there will be you know, other resident amenities, and you can see they have terraces that follow this sort of pivoting geometry that we originally proposed. You maintain that. And so a lot of nice articulation and variegation variety along Wisconsin, plus an active retail use and the you know, prescribed required public open space there as well. Starting to show how the changing in the facade planes, modulating and articulating the tower here. and, you know, taking the 2.03 building form idea of acknowledging a corner, and applying that to the massing corner treatment.
This is the spot, this right here is a response to, how do you connect the building? Having this treatment here on the corner that says, here's this element that just ties it all together from top to bottom.
And again, extruding that tower form, very elegant, and a very nice proportion, we think, and then giving shape to the top of the building, which provides you know, a very interesting and unique. And that space is planned to be you know, we want it to be a winter garden, and so it'll be skylit, and then we'll have a different treatment on the facade so that it feels like a crown. It will be illuminated at night. We don't know exactly what that will be in terms of the design, but it will further accentuate that as being, you know, the crown in the top of the building. Now going through some of the more detail in the building design, reinforcing the program with retail, amenity, memory care, and really those uses are the uses we would like to have there. We move things around a bit so that the podium acts to house the retail lobby uses, two levels of amenity, as I mentioned, and memory care as well. And actually, it's not visible here, but on the west side of the building, the memory care sort of protrudes out almost like a couple legs, if you will, with the tower coming down. And there's an outdoor space, which is a prescribed, required space for those residents to be outdoors. And so that's working nicely, we think. Here you see that it is predominantly independent living, which, you know, we think of really as apartments for the most part. And there's assisted, and there's the memory care, there's not skilled nursing. And then we want the retail to be active. We want to make it sort of blend in. There's a thing called active lobby nowadays, which we see as a positive thing, where the residents and of the building, residents of Bethesda, can mingle and so on. And spill out onto the sidewalk is our desire and a goal there. Some of the same thoughts we've had about facade treatments. It will be a modern treatment, and it will be masonry or perhaps terracotta. That's the sort of character and materiality that we anticipate. And at the bottom, there is an experience that you know, we think is really important for these residents who are coming and going, and in many cases needing assistance. And so having a covered entrance, we think is very important. We had some good input from planning, and wanted to feel like a hospitality, porte-cochere arrival, where the streetscape feels almost like a plaza that is a continuation of the public domain, but very bright. The ceiling has treatments that don't feel dark. The glass of the lobby will not feel dark as you pass by. And the top indicated there on the left, the idea of a glowing lantern crown, if you will.
And one of the comments that came back from staff, because it looks like a box within a box, that there's the opportunity to clad the different elements or different facades in the boxes differently. Like one might be more glass, one might be more the masonry product,
yes,
or some blend. There'll be plenty of glass in this building, but
yeah,
it won't be all glass, that's true.
And so the massing ideas will be reinforced via the materiality and the fenestration design. And then on the ground floor, as Joel mentioned, we no longer have access for service off of Montgomery. We have brought that around to Hampden. As we've mentioned, we think that the drop-off is very important for the residents, and we have worked to limit the impact of service, for one thing. We're providing a single bay for the service instead of two, which we had before, and that will create some, you know, some extra sort of challenges for service management and so on, but and we've pushed that back 5 feet or so, so that as a resident or a pedestrian, it's not visible. There'll be a door that comes down during the day, and then there is a wall there that is indicated by the hand moving there, which will be visible for pedestrians and also for others arriving, and so we're going to treat that in a special way, special materials or perhaps some design element, and then still having access vehicular ramping there for drop-offs and so on. There are, I think, 70-ish parking spaces, so not a lot of parking spaces, not a lot of vehicular traffic coming and going that way. And then the public space is shaded along Wisconsin with enhanced amenities and streetscape. And then just a reminder that on the corner of Wisconsin and Montgomery, there will be the new bike lane, and what is currently a right turn condition will go away. You can see a very faint line there. And so we're actually adding this triangle of a public realm, hardscape, landscape, which will, make this corner that much nicer and give that much more public realm to the corner. We've done some things at the corner with the lobby condition, pulling that back to, we think, make it more effective and do we have a plan with the colored retail that we show? Yeah. The pink is the retail frontage, and then the yellow is the lobby space and access for the residents to vertical transportation, exiting and so on. The ground plane, where again we are very sensitive to two things. First of all, the way the hardscape looks and feels is very pedestrian friendly and is geared towards the pedestrian in terms of design. But also, we have a site landscape requirement that it's 18,000 square foot site, so it's all very tight. We're trying to get as much green as we can with the street trees and the planted separation from the curb there, and then also some plantings adjacent to the lobby space to soften that and to get that prescribed coverage. Some ideas about the character of the hardscape and the landscape, and we'd previously looked at some raised planters, which the nice thing about a raised planter is it does provide a place for people to sit, but it's maybe we prefer a lower planting condition where the ground plane and the public realm feels a little more contiguous, which is what you see in these images and what we'll be doing here. I mentioned memory care, the couple floors there on the left with the open space that, again, is a prescribed requirement for the people in that condition and requiring that care, which we've accommodated. And then, pulling back on the west side to get that 45-foot separation. Had a pretty big impact on our floor plates. As we mentioned before, these buildings are inherently inefficient. The needs of the residents, the sizes of the units being sort of small, and a lot of care necessary. They're not very efficient, but we've accommodated all of that. And then on the bottom, we wanted to share a part of a conversation that evolved from conversations with Washington Properties next door. And it's a very just interactive, and at this point, I guess, non-binding, you know, suggestion and so on. But really, they took the first step, if you will, with some angles on their side. And then, you know, we responded if we were to do something similar. Now, this does suggest that if you actually had a point where the two buildings were more like 30 feet apart, but then that could expand to as much as 60 feet on Montgomery and maybe 45 feet on Hamden. The end result could be advantageous for both buildings in terms of longer sight lines, and less of that sense of, you know, almost like a canyon between the two buildings. And on the south, it opens up to provide more sun actually penetrating and so on. There's a point visually where as you pass by, you would see a 30-foot gap versus, you know, potentially the 45-foot gap. But as you move along Montgomery, you know, you would sense a 60-foot spacing between the buildings and actually the minimum average is 45 feet or more. So I think we're putting that out there as a part of this conversation. We've sort of looked at it both ways. We think it could work both ways. That's really for you all to you know, provide thoughts as to how that might move forward.
And in either scenario, the discussion with both parties is that's a green space between the two buildings. So at the top of the podium is a green space.
And then moving up to our roof, again, we do have the green roof requirements, and it's really just as James is indicating, what you see is F there is actually down the podium, and so we're the rotated portion of the plan that is parallel to Montgomery's property line here includes a winter garden area. We can do 25% of the floor plate that we're extending above the 250 feet in this case. And so the G area is enclosed, and we'd like it to be, you know, skylit, as I mentioned, feel very nice even on days like today, and then spill out into seating and you know, gardens beyond that for residents to enjoy. There's other, you know, mechanical needs, obviously, which take up a portion of the roof as well. And, you know, realizing that roofscape is actually a really nice amenity for residents, and we fully intend to take advantage of that. This is a building section that includes an enlargement on the right here of the condition along Wisconsin. There are three levels of parking, so sort of that's all below grade, but it shows how our amenities being on levels 2 and 3 with the terraces and that visual connection between folks enjoying that and folks on the street and the sidewalk below, and how that works along with the retail connectivity. Just indicating, as we mentioned, that a portion of the corner does project above that 250 feet as is allowed, you know, to a 25% floor plate percentage. But otherwise, there are buildings of 290 feet on either side of this site. So that's that. I have a previous meeting, we had a context model, just brought the building model, but if you want to pass that around, and it's usually helpful to visualize in three dimensions.
So we're anticipating going to the planning board in April. Sketch plan again, this is. We're still talking, as he indicates, with the next door neighbor about what they would want to do and how the two work. So depending on where that goes, the site plan would address, you know, exactly what those building-to-building conditions would be.
I personally am very intrigued with the option plan.
I do too. I like that because it's not this wind tunnel of parallel lines. The parallel 45 all the way straight through is a bit of, it's pretty tough as a canyon.
And if you can pull off the option, yeah,
the option I think is the stronger. Mm-hmm.
I would even go a little bit further and say, even if you could only pull off your half, in my humble opinion,
yeah,
reducing that 45 feet at a period at a point and enlarging it otherwise,
right,
they don't have to exactly mirror it, but I think it would be a positive.
Yeah, I like it in concept. I think the one issue is Washington Property Company currently developing plans for that site. Mm-hmm. What happens if they don't move forward with their side of the equation? That's the only
thing. I think George,
I raised the same question. I said, look, we like display design, and you know, I can't control what happens, but this process kind of can influence that, and we're not opposed to, because it helps our, I mean, we're going to have units on the back side of that building, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look straight off at an office where I can get a better angle, and
yeah,
to some degree, it could even be sawtooth, right? So we in and out a little bit so those residents can get better views out to the main streets of Hampton and Montgomery.
I think even cross. if they kept it straight, this is a better,
it would
solution.
Still be improvement,
yes,
for you, right, and for the project.
Right.
And by the way, I don't see them keeping it straight.
No.
In reality, I think they will respond, mm-hmm, if you lead the way. That's my opinion.
Well, and we've had discussions, and we're in discussion, so it's not, I'm encouraged, but to Tom's point, there's nothing in writing that says, I'm going to do this, and you're going to do that, between the two parties.
Yeah, but Washington Property Company wants, I mean, there are other projects to demonstrate they want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Can you get us to the site with an Uber dropping people off, and they're coming out of D.C.? You got a lot of intersection issues here, and curb cuts, etc. So I'm coming out of D.C. on Wisconsin. How do I get to your site and drop off in this, you know, covered entryway?
Yeah, you're either gonna have to cut over,
yeah,
below,
yeah,
and then come back up like,
right,
whatever, put the road.
So where do you turn?
Down,
so where do you turn left? You turn
Woodmont.
Left on Woodmont.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
you turn
left
left
on
Woodmont.
You can turn left on Bethesda Avenue.
Right.
Under
one
of those two.
Right. Because you can't turn on Hampton.
You can't turn in Hampton. That's
right.
Correct.
Left here,
right
there.
And then
to come up to Woodmont.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
And then come
how
up
you
to
do
Hampton and then turn in.
Wow.
Because you can.
Ooh, that's a tough turn. What you just with your finger?
Yeah. Do that. Come here.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. In other words, in Hampton, making that turn, because you're going east, and then you got to turn around and, in a sense, go west underneath your entryway.
I missed that, but what I believe would probably happen is you would turn left either at Woodmont or Bethesda Avenue,
mm-hmm,
go down to Woodmont Avenue,
yeah,
come north on Woodmont until you get to Hampton Lane,
yeah,
and take a right there on Hampton Lane and come in that way.
So you're going to the east,
going
on Hampton.
Going east on Hampton and take a left into the site, yes.
Okay, which, and Hampton is two directions.
It is two directions.
That means,
yes,
you're cutting across,
yes,
the traffic.
It's narrow, but it's
cutting,
yeah,
across
and
the traffic.
And it's not a high traffic
but
street,
it's
because
it's a quiet street, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a very.
And then what's the reservoir backup?
You mean
getting into,
yeah,
the, you know, entranceway? In other words, is that an issue with these kinds of facilities?
It's going to be coordinated, right? So once you start to get people into understanding the operational flow,
uh-huh,
it will have concierge valet service,
right,
so that you can get in and out quickly, because that's the key.
Because you don't have a lot of reservoirs.
No, you don't have. We're doing this. We're looking to get this. where it's a little wider, so you can get multiple cars. You can park two, three, four cars in here, but off above the sidewalk, because we want to maintain the ability for pedestrians to continue to walk by. And then pulling into the
I drop my parents off, and I want to go to the parking garage. Mm-hmm. I drop them off, and then how do I get to the parking garage?
You turn right and go down.
So this is the parking garage entrance.
Okay.
You just come in here, drop off.
I can turn a right there.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand. So the purple is the back of the house. That's the service.
Yeah.
That's good, because I was concerned it might be the other way around.
Obviously
not.
I feel like you guys have done a really good job with this.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
a tiny site with a vehicular and pedestrian access.
Right. I mean, the ideal would just go straight through, but you can't do that.
The original project had a back double load service here.
Yeah.
And we heard from several folk that was not being ideal.
Right.
So we said, we looked into how we can then keep this all back at house, but then keep the entrance here. And we have limited trips, so that's the good news. We're not having 10 trips a day for a service. But really still making it in the front, but where the entrance is, but dressing it up so that when you come in, I'm not having this, I'm going to bring some back out and trash right there. You're not going to see it, because probably going to be closed during 95% of the time. Very well, a point of wall here that's appealing for your view as you're dropping off, because that's what you're going straight.
Well, the usage would be 5 to 10 service accesses per week.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
All the
A couple of trash.
And linen.
Two to three.
Tons of linen.
We got lots of food.
Lots of
food. 2 to 3 weeks
food.
Food's
the biggest.
Food, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, my comment was going to be, I understand you took one loading dock out, and it's none of our business, but are you absolutely sure?
Well, it's going to be a coordination.
We actually sent a sketch to a local waste provider, and they said you could do this. So
they said it's a workable solution.
We didn't want to present something that wasn't workable.
No, I mean,
we believe it is.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's also, our operating partner, it's just, they're well up to speed of what we're doing in terms of design. They make sure that they can make it work operationally, because they want it to be, the back of house needs to be invisible to our residents, right?
Right, right.
Oh, sure.
So how do they do it so they can maintain that? And this is, they've had their input into this, so they're more comfortable with the layout and design.
I mean, this is a real puzzle. I mean, this is, you're hurting your buck in the hole here. Be able to shoehorn all this in. I mean, it's tough.
And
it really is.
George's comment earlier, the fact that this is so walkable, we're hoping that, and I've shared with you guys at the last meeting, the average resident we see is in their, mid-80s, right, for independent living these days, right? That's what's happened in senior housing. 10 years ago, it was a lot younger. It was like 72. So having this element where I still have an urban environment and I can still enjoy, this is a block and a half, Bethesda Row, you have all that at your doorstep, so to speak. You don't need a car. So hopefully it is just when you're going to pick up or drop off mom or dad, then you can take them over to the restaurant. So it's much more, in our minds, hopefully less vehicular need because of the location and the walkability, the great walkability of the site.
I guess I just would be concerned about Amazon deliveries. If your residents order Peapod, where does that come in? And those are not big trucks. I mean, it's just, again, it's none of our business. So,
from your perspective about the getting in,
stopping,
we've,
dropping
we've
off,
to think ahead on that and say we've got two lanes of access.
Yeah.
One is for dropping off, and one could be a pull through if we need it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got the ability to go in, and then if there's a valet service, they'll take it down and park the car, or they can drive it down themselves, or you can come back out onto Hamden.
But this is going to require us to have, for the most part during the day, somebody that's valet concierge person that's outside making sure, or in the lobby making sure there's no coordinated efforts of backup of traffic, whether it's Amazon or whoever's dropping off. Right?
Yeah, a lot happening there.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you,
particularly on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
particular?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, we're going to run out of parking.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, we have a lot of parking, public parking, within a quarter mile of the site, so that's the...
And that's what's going to happen. People are going to realize they can park across the street. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And that's just educating the families of the residents and the residents themselves.
So there's a traffic light, obviously, at Montgomery.
Yes.
So if you're coming out from D.C., you could just be dropped off over on the right side and cross the street, conceivably.
You could. I wouldn't recommend it.
You would not recommend it.
I mean, I you could, and it's long as... I'm sure there's 20 seconds or 25 seconds. I haven't looked at the timing of the walking crosswalk. But as long as there's enough time, I'm just, if somebody's got a walker, I would not want to.
That's standard.
Yeah, I mean, that could be.
We got to go get out of the trunk, bring it around.
I wasn't talking about that type of person. I was talking about
One of us.
One of us.
We could. Yes. We could.
Not me.
Yes. We could easily walk over if you were coming out of D.C.
Could you go to the ground level? Streetscape.
The tree,
this is yeah. I think you guys do a really good job with the Rundle landscape plan. I do have a comment regarding the northeast corner of that triangular planting.
Mm-hmm.
Is it flush or raised?
So the planting would be flush. There's a possibility of maybe a seat wall.
Okay.
To be
I
able
think
to
you guys did a great job with having this corner treatment, the vertical, you know, prominent treatment.
Of the building.
Of the building. I wonder if using small elements such as like planting pots to make it address, like make it a more urban and more walkable and more fluid pedestrian experience than using a planter like this, so to address that corner tree.
Well, part of it I mentioned is the green area requirement, which is important. And then we see, you know, furnishings, whether it's benches and so on, that provides the furnishings that aren't permanently built up, so to speak, mainly so we can sort of achieve both where we get a lot of planting but also, you know, nice amenities to sit.
Yeah,
on.
I think that corner definitely not raised, needs to be flush.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, especially because there's bikes, right?
Yes.
And if somebody pulls off this bike lane and decides to come right over here, I wouldn't want somebody hitting their bike there and then toppling on the Wisconsin, right? That's 45,000 cars a day, which would scare me a little bit. But it's a good point. I think that was the plan is, as you saw in the pictures, to have flat and flush landscaping, like pack of sand or something like that.
So you've got
examples
here.
Yeah.
Again, there's a bench shown here, but we can see a seat wall, something a little more permanent in nature, again, increasing the pedestrian experience.
Okay.
Engaging with.
And one of the challenges to that, unfortunately, is going to be on our side, because those improvements are all in the public right of way.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to. It's been done, but that'll be something that we'll need to do more work on our side.
Is that as simple as?
Then they'll be very happy,
yeah,
right?
We need to get DOT's approval for any non-standard things in the public right of way.
Yeah. Is that just a maintenance agreement that if we choose to plant it, we can maintain it?
So this is a conversation that's a DOT conversation, and it's a BUP conversation. DOT, and really DPS right of way, has been more reluctant of late to have non-standard elements in the right-of-way from a maintenance perspective. And maintenance, it used to be that, oh, we'll sign a maintenance liability agreement, sold. They're less persuaded by that now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, that corner is not a standard corner. There's a lot going on. There are lots of transitions between use and north and south and east and west and mode. There's a lot going on there, but just that's a conversation that we'll all need to have.
Do they have some design standards that they can provide us?
Well, I mean, their design standards
is
going to be
like their design.
You're not
going to
like
it. It's going to be the it'll be the brick. It would just be take everything out and just put in the brick and call it a day.
There's another option. It's possible too that triangle could be abandoned from the right of way, and then not, then they wouldn't control it.
If you wanted to go through an abandonment, we would certainly support that, and that would address that issue.
So there's a number of ways. We haven't really worked that out.
Yeah, I mean, that may be kind of a severe approach to something.
Yeah, I'd rather not have to do that. But.
But we'll have a conversation with them. I would think BUP would be, sometimes Jeff Burton from, well, I guess he'll be easy at DRC, but I think that corner, but we should have that conversation sooner rather than later.
We should reach out to Jeff.
I would start with Jeff and just get him excited about what you're doing there on the corner, and then we can sort of help carry that.
I wonder whether this project and the project across the street and the project on the other side of Elm together finally trigger a reevaluation of what's going on down there in the gymnastics at Woodmont with the one ways and the, you know, all the crap that's going on down there. I wonder if this might be the trigger that sort of suggests that whole circulation pattern needs to be looked at, you know, in a more comprehensive way rather than just protecting.
The sector plan did recommend reevaluating the one-way loops.
That was intended to be a more comprehensive approach, look at it, starting over east-west, and but that would have to be a DOT initiated study with us, I think, on board, as well as SAP.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the circulation you're talking about, it kind of triggered that thought.
Right, exactly. No, I was trying to arrive here, and I was going around Robinette's barn in order to get there. I have a radical thought to put on the table. I'm going back 30 years to Bethesda's beauty contest days, and the fact that public art was a major component of that for many years. And this plaza, this triangle, is standing out at me and saying this could be a fantastic location for a public art component. Right. Something not delicate, but something pretty strong and dramatic with the verticality you're building behind it. I don't know who's going to spring for it, but it's a great opportunity.
You're looking at me.
But it would be a great opportunity.
Yeah,
exactly. But George, I think you brought up probably
one of the most critical issues is
one big
with
what?
Amazon deliveries and stuff.
Don't start
like that,
Robert.
They're abusive right now. I mean, they will pull up on sidewalks. They'll go into crosswalks and you know,
and it's going to get worse.
Mess up flows of pedestrians, etc. I mean, they're incredible. Mm-hmm. And even out at the university, they're doing that, you know, on a roundabout. They'll be parking, you know, on a roundabout, you know, just to make deliveries, etc.
We can retrofit the roof and add a landing pad for the drone.
No, but I mean, I know. It's not just you.
No, but that could happen, by the way.
No, it's going to be all flown in. Yeah. Well, maybe, but
what do they call drones?
Drone.
We actually have in our proposed budget for next year a study to look at ways to address that, because it's only getting worse in Bethesda in particular, and we'll be looking at, or assuming it stays in the budget, I think we would be looking at Bethesda as sort of a case study of, you know, how do you address this? Because really this is sort of cities all over the world are having the same issue, and there are various approaches that we're looking at.
And it's an issue, and we see it everywhere. And so, you know, we've seen, what would be great is if Amazon can create those kind of lockers, you know, because that way if there's a drop-off location with lockers, then people can go there, our staff will go pick it up for the resident.
Right.
Which would be much easier than, you're right, I mean, if you had 100 Amazon deliveries at once, but that's a problem anywhere.
I was harboring another suggestion, which I wasn't going to bring up, but
even more radical than the last. Going back even further.
BS today. Since most of what we're talking about are car-sized vehicles and not vans or trucks, I mean, it's possible, and I don't know how your lower level works, but for a certain number of these guys, they could go down your car ramp and just a couple of spaces there near your elevator core where they could actually maybe deposit in lockers or things like that. It's a little bit of a control issue, but it might eliminate a lot of headaches down the road. You might think about that.
Yeah, that's a good comment. We're very sensitive to security.
I understand.
That's the biggest, you know, one of the bigger elements for our population base. We want to make sure they feel completely 150% secure. So that's access is the, it's a fair point, and we will look at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there might be a way you can kind of create a further gate down.
Yeah, you don't have to penetrate very far.
Yeah.
Down the bottom of the rim.
Well, that would be the only reason to go all the way straight through with service. You know, the way they used to do in, mm-hmm. like in New York, you know.
As a pull-through.
A pull-through. Mm-hmm. All the way through.
But from other meetings, we had heard very strong feedback that go in and out on Hamden. So we looked at it. Yeah. There's a meeting where we looked at multiple options for this design. And based on our feedback and what we can make work, we felt like this was met the needs that was the higher issues. We even looked at doing like a pulling in and having a rotating turntable to get you in, then pulling back out, so you weren't back.
So you weren't backing across pedestrian and bicycle lanes.
And that is an issue, by the way. We haven't mentioned that, but even though you're off the street, you still have to back out across that, all the way out to.
Well, you either back in or back out.
And I think that's the benefit of our operational component to our building is we will have somebody there that's main. Is kind of the gatekeeper to helping traffic flow, because last thing we want is for anybody to, our residents or people on the street, have an issue with traffic.
But one does wonder if a small 10 or 11 foot outbound lane onto Montgomery doesn't make some sense. I'm sorry, I don't want to take
you. No, I.
You got to turn around and say that.
There's a lot of traffic on Montgomery. Montgomery's doing a lot of
things. Yeah, but you're going out. You're not backing out. It could eliminate.
I agree.
The two-way bike lane being adapted. The previous project was everything on Montgomery. It was into the parking and also service. So. Yeah.
So I think, you know,
this is a complete
one
shift.
Small exit could free up this whole thing.
I know, that's my feeling also. I think the massing and everything has done very well. I think you've come a long way.
It's come a long way.
Improved it from the last time we saw it.
Very, very happy.
That's why we're here, to make it as good as it could be.
And we get it. I think when we met with Gwen and Nelson at another meeting, it even came up that the Stonebridge Hotel across the street, the AC Hotel, is going to have a similar, lit glass top. So it's going to feel like you're arriving to this core of CBD, if you will.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, so it'd be kind of these, and if we could figure out art is the right thing to do there and have a nice focal point,
I would love it.
We want to, we have limited space to work with, but we want to make it as, visually pleasing as possible. That's our goal.
And that may actually help you with, and when you talk to Jeff and you mentioned that you're considering public art, I think that helps.
More open to public art in the right of way.
Bethesda's always looking for public art. Yeah. And so I think if that's an opportunity and it's in the public right of way, I think that only gets more people on your side.
I think we've overlooked it in the last few years. I'm not sure why.
I mean,
it's not mandated. That's why.
It used to be a requirement.
Yeah, exactly.
It used to be a requirement.
Don't I know?
We all dealt with it. Some cases better than others.
Actually, I got to say, from my standpoint, the collaborative public art work that we did back then was so satisfying. I mean, it was really a lot of fun.
Most of it. The one DC 101 on the building at the corner was always a debated topic. All right. Well, thank you, folks. We really appreciate the comments and the time again. And
do we have any other comments from the panel? So last time the panel voted that the project was, so we're at sketch plan, was sort of on its way to meeting the minimum design excellence points. Is there any, I don't know if we necessarily need to revote. I think just maybe to vote, do we need to revote?
What were they originally asking for?
Well, so we are just doing the category at this time. So it's really if they're on, and I mean, to be fair, the panel voted last time that the previous design was on its way to meeting the minimum. But it sounds like the panel is not changing its mind and that the panel still thinks we're on
It's getting better, as I say.
I'm feeling better.
I think it's much better than 10 points.
Well, it's a different, it's a different design, and so it's just...
Can we get more points?
It sounds like everything, that the panels...
Yeah,
if that happens, it's an excellent.
Give them an extra point.
Plus one.
Then if we throw the art in, George, we get some more points.
You get two. Plus two. Plus two for the public. Okay.
But I think the design overall has gotten substantially better than it was last time, and it was looking good last time.
Thank you. These guys have done a really good job.
That's a real, tough problem. That ground floor is really, 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 really tight.
Wow.
They've got it covered.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing because it's where's the quartermaster, right? Who's going to be
Bailing
out the time.
And I'll say it one more time.
Yeah.
I think you all agree. If you can do something with that western property line
in terms
of what you're talking about, that just takes it over the...
We're going to continue working
with
Washington
better than
properties.
You're talking about the split.
I like that.
That's
a huge improvement.
We met with we've had several calls. We met in person. We met with our team is an owner, a developer, and architects, and their owner, developer, architects. So, they're the ones that first said, hey, why don't we splay it and see how that goes? And so we're working on that and trying to figure out what the final look would be.
And Washington Properties has met with us to show sort of their half, and I think it's all very positive.
But and I think even without it, breaking that line up on your side alone really is a big improvement. And I don't think anybody's going to have qualms about 30 feet versus 60 feet versus, I mean, that's the kind of thing we want to encourage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else? All right, then that wraps us up for this. Thank you very much. Good work.
Thank you.